And there you go, Kathy.
Okay, so I'm calling this Bay Village Historic District Commission public hearing to order at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, June 13th, 2023, in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the March 29th, 2023 legislation extending the suspension of those provisions until March 31, 2025. We are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Bay Village Historic District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Now, commissioners present are McDermott, Dunwell, Kilgus, Hotelling. Ruth is not here, am I right?
Correct. She says she's feeling better and misses all of us, but she had a doctor's appointment.
Plus Joseph Cornish, Director of Design Review, Landmarks Commission, City of Boston. So our first order of business is administrative review and approval of three matters. So let's first turn to 23-1029 BV, 122 Arlington Street. Joe, I'm going to turn that over to you now.
Sure, sure. So we have three administrative review approval applications that meet the commission's guidelines. So the first, we have a replacement of existing signage at 122 Arlington Street. It's replacing signage in all of the same locations and all of the same dimensions of what had been there previously. It's just a renaming of the property.
Okay. Looks nice.
And then we can, the next two, the following two applications are both the same address, 37 Melrose Street, replacing two first story windows at the front facade, and then replacing three second story windows. And here is the building, and they're non-historic aluminum windows, 6/6, white, and they're going to be replacing them with simulated divided light, black, 6/6 clad windows. And you know, I think it'll be improvement. The building next door has the black sash.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, true divided light.
Yeah, well, I think that's, when I look through the information that they submitted, the cut sheets, it's simulated divided lights, but okay. It's the simulated divided lights that we approve.
Okay. So we have two things from 37 Melrose Street, 1013 and 1014.
Correct. Yep. And then the 122 Arlington.
Yeah.
Joe, do they meet the criteria for the liners and also for the spacing bar?
Yes.
All dark then?
Yes.
Great. Great. Good.
Other questions or comments on this before
I do see that we do have one member of the public, so maybe
excellent.
I'll just, they're not raising their hand, but if you would like, I see a Ralph. Ralph, are you there? Would you like to make comment about this application? Feel free to if you would.
No, I'm just listening to the meeting.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Well, welcome. Thank you. Welcome. If you have any questions throughout, you can just raise your hand. All right.
Okay, commissioners, any other comments or questions about these?
I have a quick question about 122 Arlington. Maybe I came in late on this or something. What is the new usage of the building?
I'm not sure if it says that here.
Career Institute, is that like educational?
I believe so. Again, you know, use is outside of our purview. So, yeah. You know, I believe it's still an educational use. I don't know if it's a not-for-profit or if it's a public, I don't know.
Lab, healthcare. Okay, well, maybe I can look them up. But, you know, a lot of people ask, so what's going on in there? And I did notice that there was a little activity. There was a pump and a vacuum cleaner and things like that around there.
Okay. So any other questions before I make a motion to approve?
Do we have to do them individually or can we do them together?
No, just one. You can make one motion.
So I'm going to move now that we approve. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
I'm in favor.
Okay. Hi. Everybody, Joe.
Great. Great. Okay. Good.
All right. Now we're going to move to the second matter, which is the status of the revised regulatory standards.
Good. So I circulated again, the latest draft based on our meeting, public meeting last week. Mm-hmm. And I just highlighted a few of the areas where I did some wordsmithing based on the feedback that we had. So can you all see this?
Yes.
All right. So here we have the first was the addition in under mechanical systems. The last line, installation of new equipment and replacement of existing equipment shall be minimally visible as determined by the commission. That was the language we had agreed on. Mm-hmm. We did quite a bit of changes to the window sash. So I'll just read. We included original historic, the word historic windows, including wood, metal casement windows, and metal industrial windows, shall be repaired rather than replaced if the commission determines repair is not possible when more than we came up with the number, the percentage, 75% of the wood or metal elements are deteriorated beyond repair. The new window shall match the materials, dimensions, and light configuration of the original windows with through mutton bars or simulated divided light windows with
windows.
Oh. All right. I'll correct that. Thank you. See, word spell check didn't catch that.
No.
Right. Simulated divided light windows with exterior and interior applied muttons, which are integral with the sash frame. Muttons inserted between the panes of glass or exterior slash interior snap-in muttons are not allowed. The commission requires that the use of dark colored jam liners, the use of dark anodized spacer bars between thermal panes, and the replication of brick mold dimensions and profile. And I don't think we changed anything more. All paint colors shall be appropriate to the style of the period of the building and be consistent with the character of the district. Replacement of later replacement windows shall be with the original material or composite material deemed appropriate by the commission and shall match the design and the light configuration of the original historic windows. So I think I got everything that we discussed there. But I will make that change to windows.
I'm just not sure I understand the last sentence. Mm-hmm. Replacement of later replacement windows shall be.
So this is what I mean, most of the window applications that we get are non-original historic windows. So maybe here it makes sense, instead of saying replacement of later replacement windows, we could say replacement of non-original historic windows. Would that?
I guess I'm wondering about the replacement of later replacement windows shall be with the original material. Is it the original material or the historic material? Let's see.
It can't be with the original material, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. Good point. We'll say historic.
So, hey, Joe, just to clarify what you're getting at here, the idea is that the building originally had a historic window. Let's say it's an 1840s building and the window was wood. But then, you know, in the 1970s, they took the wooden window out and they put a new window in, mm-hmm. a new 70s window. And that one was maybe not made of wood. Maybe it was made of something else. Mm-hmm. And I think you're trying to address here, well, what do you do? Do you go back to the 1970 or do you try to go back to the original historic? If it was originally supposed to be wood, is that what you're hoping for?
Yes. But this also allows, you know, we have the line here, or a composite material deemed appropriate by the commission. So that could, you know, allow us the aluminum clad option.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason it's confusing is because the replacement word is appears twice.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately makes everyone scratch their heads and say, like, well, what just happened, you know?
So why do I say, I think replacement of
non-original
historic windows.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that works.
And then we will go down. we will change with the historic material or a composite material deemed appropriate. I mean, or we could just leave that at, well, I think we should say historic.
Yeah, because material. Originally you don't know whether that's referring to the replacement.
Mm-hmm. Is everyone comfortable with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Good.
Thank you.
So doors and doorways, I added the a few sentences here on the door grills. The installation of iron security grills may be appropriate. And this pretty much repeats the language for window grills. Yeah. Grills shall be mounted within the door opening and secured into mortar joints rather than into masonry. Grills shall have pierced horizontal rails or butt welded joints. Again, this is the same language for the window grills. Overlapping joints are inappropriate. Grills generally should not protrude beyond the plane of the building.
Yeah.
Right. And then I did a little bit of change, a little extra change to 4.4.2, intercoms, buzzer, security cameras, and mailboxes. I added the word buzzers into the heading here. These installations should be flush mounted within the reveal of the door rather than on the masonry facade of the building and shall be small in size and brass or dark finish. Intercoms and buzzers that are lighted, buzzers that are lighted or have electronic displays are inappropriate. So that was a comment made by one of our prospective commissioners about the flashing lights. So I think maybe I achieved what she was looking for there. And then the language, ring doorbells are approvable provided that they are housed in an unlacquered brass or black housing or a housing matching the color of the surrounding trim. And then we didn't say anything here about security cameras. So I just said security cameras shall be small in size and its housing painted to match the surrounding trim or masonry that it's attached to.
Joe, two questions. Security cameras shall be small in size and their housing.
Right.
Painted to match.
Okay.
And is unlacquered important in the fourth line? It's unlacquered.
Yeah, I think we can take
second line.
Out.
It's not.
I think we can take that out.
Well, if it is, we should just have it in the second line too, where it refers to brass.
Let's just say brass, I think. I don't think we need to be that.
The placement of the security camera, is that within the door frame or whatever?
The door entry. So maybe we should be more clear about that.
Right, someone will put one on that.
Within the reveal of the door entryway?
I think it's a little tricky because right now we're saying it's okay to put your camera on the trim, but it's not okay to put your intercom and buzzer on the trim. So like, getting a little complicated there.
Well, I know. I mean, cameras have. I think we have to be a little more flexible with cameras, you know, so they're achieving their.
Okay.
Their goal, right. But yeah, I'm open to ideas here. This is just something I.
Let me interject that you have to recognize that sometimes the camera and the doorbell are in the same unit,
especially yes. If
you
get a device,
like a Google device, a Nest device, a Ring device. Also, I think when you say Ring doorbells, you mean Ring, which is like a brand.
Yes, yep.
And maybe that should actually be
smaller.
That way to know what you're talking about, because it's basically an electronic, frequently wireless doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
Includes a camera and some interactive features, and
maybe we did a description and said such as a Ring doorbell.
Yeah, so for example, friends of mine have one where the doorbell device recognizes you visually.
Mm-hmm.
So looks at you, does a quick face recognition and says, okay, you can come in.
Mm-hmm.
That device usually, the more features it has, the larger it tends to be. If there are multiple units and, you know, visual as well as buttons and maybe a little listing. You know, there, some of those are actually, you know, they could be like 8 by 10 inches or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and flush mounted.
But Steve, should we be encouraging that? Because I think it's better to have it all in one place versus, you know, like a separate camera and a separate bell. Mm-hmm. I mean, should we say something like that, that owners are encouraged to consolidate these things in one place?
I think that's an excellent question.
Because I think a lot depends on the budget and preference of the owner. There are a lot of different choices.
No, of course there are, but I'm just saying that the commission could encourage people to consolidate in one area if we think that's a good idea.
Sorry, Anne, go ahead.
Well, also that they should be as unobtrusive as possible, and that if there are questions, that they come to the commission.
Yeah.
How's that? Something like that. Because the technology is going to keep changing too.
Yeah.
So we really need to approve them on a as needed basis then, don't we?
I have a question that piggybacks on everyone's comment, which is, what are the other historic districts, like, you know, Beacon Hill or Back Bay, what are they doing?
Yeah, so this is very similar to the language. The Ring doorbell language is what Beacon Hill is using now. And the reason for that is they had someone report all of the Ring doorbells that were installed without the review of the commission. And to find a way to achieve the installation of a doorbell, they were able to find a brass housing that could, you know, disguise it. So that's how we got here with the language for the Ring doorbells.
What about cameras?
The cameras, I just added that because...
What do they have about cameras?
Nothing.
It's the same type of requirement that the housing would be painted to match the color of the trim or masonry that it's attached to. So basically it's camouflaged as much as possible.
Okay.
Let me come back in on one other aspect of this too. The sentence about lights, intercoms, buzzers, lighted, inappropriate. I recognize you're trying to respond to Catherine Nelson's comment.
Yes.
You saw one nearby that was like flashing and blinking and was bothersome. But a lot of these things do have small lights in them. You know, in fact, it makes a lot of sense to have that. And I would prefer that be worded in such a way that we're recommending a subdued effect, that recognizes that there might be some light, there might be, you know, different finishes. It could be brass, it could be painted, you know, the different sizes, you know, all that kind of thing. But I think if you say electronic display is inappropriate, then a lot of people are going to have to come to you with questions. Mm-hmm. Because they'll say, well, I got this thing. It's called, you know, Nest. It's called Ring. It's called something. And it has some lights and it has some electronics. And why is it inappropriate?
And that's up to us it's up to us to decide. I mean, we could say, we could just be silent on lighting. You know, we could limit this to what the color of the housing looks like and where it's attached. I think that's where we started.
Okay. I put in a word like unobtrusive. Mm-hmm. So, and we get to determine that. But blinking lights are obtrusive. All right.
Yeah, I like unobtrusive is good. It makes it less definite.
Yeah, something like that. It's unobtrusive. And if you have questions, come to us. We'll tell you. No, that's a nuisance. Yeah. We don't want blinking lights.
Okay.
So I have a question about 4.4.3. And I didn't see this the first time around. So one of the things that has happened historically in the neighborhood is there has always been a real push for people to put lights in their front space because it prevents people from congregating overnight, et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like now that what we're saying is if you do put a light in the front, we need to review it, which is quite a step. I think,
and that was part of the ordinance change that was approved. So okay, that's
fine.
Yeah. So the three things were the scope of protection is everything that's visible from a public way.
Got it.
Paint colors on masonry metal.
Got it.
And entry lighting, because previously that was specifically left out of review. It was exempt from review. So okay. we're not saying you can't do it, but that you have to submit.
Got it.
An application for it.
Interesting. Okay, very good.
So what I can, I'll work a little more on 4.4.2, but I think we're at a stage where we can open this up now for public comment, and going to the neighborhood. And I think that may have been the last additions. That's an important one. We spent time here. And this was new additions are reviewed on a case-by-case basis and shall not disrupt the essential form and integrity of an individual building or the district. The size, scale, color, material, and character of this work shall be compatible with the character of the existing buildings and their environment. And this was the kind of the change that we made. The commission follows the Secretary of Interior standards for the treatment of historic properties. And this is a link to that document. The design shall be respectful of the historic building, unobtrusive and distinguished from the historic building. A recessed connector can help differentiate new from the old. The new addition should be smaller than the historic building. It should be subordinate in both size and design to the historic building. One thing, we had this last sentence, the new addition should be smaller than the historic building. It should be subordinate in both size. I don't know if we want to beef that up to be shall. I don't know if there may be instances in the district where an addition larger than a building might be appropriate.
May I point out, we have approved that kind of thing somewhat recently. Mm-hmm. The Herbaluce building, the former Mario's, where the addition is, equal to the size of the historic, and it feels bigger. I think it might actually be almost equal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, we allowed that, and other people might point to that and say, well, you let them do it,
Yeah, I'm comfortable with should here. I mean, that's why I liked it, but I just point that out.
And also, it's very likely that any modification like that will have to go to zoning for approval anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other other processes that will be required.
Yeah, I would only envision that probably if a building were destroyed for some reason, mm-hmm. and built, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
For example, like the church, the Victory's Church, which destroyed. Mm-hmm. The demo is going on that right now. Of course, they will save a lot of that.
Yeah. But
the demo is quite a drama on that one. And the addition, if you looked at it like just by measurements, the addition there is probably makes the building one third larger. It's like add 40% to the existing, and that's what the new one is.
Mm-hmm. I think you've done a great job, Joe. Thank you.
Okay,
Joe, is that an actual link to the secretary?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And for rooftop additions, see page 5. Is that still the case?
Oh yeah, let me double check that.
That's the kind of thing I always forget.
Yeah, thank you. Probably not. So that's a good catch.
Changes to roofs.
It's starts on page 4.
Why don't we could just.
A 5. Oh, here, no, it is 5. It's still 5. But I could say 4.2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Because it may change. Good.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
All right. I think that may have been.
Well, Joe, thank you for persevering on this. Gosh. Good.
Yeah, persevere is the right verb for sure.
Yes. Oops. So what? So the next step will be, and we'll be distributing. I'll send this to the neighborhood association for them to review. We'll put it on the website for public comment. And, you know, based on, we'll give the neighborhood association as much time as they want with it. If they need more than a month to review this, that's fine. But, you know, I think ideally we'll try to collect comments by our next, by our July hearing.
Okay.
For discussion.
I have a follow-up question since we're staring at the appendix about the flood levels. I'm guessing that all of Bay Village is in a flood zone risk district of some kind. Can someone tell me what that is and, you know, which category are we in? What do we know about that?
There may be a link here.
Okay.
Here you go. See that link?
There's a hot link right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, and again, this was added by our climate and resiliency fellow that was here a few years ago. So I'll double check that link to make sure it's still active and to see if it's been updated. But you're right. I'm sure the entire district is in the flood zone.
Joe, could you go to the appendix page once again? Mm-hmm. This is nitpicky, but I'm wondering, I think maybe application instructions might be 10.0.1. Application might be 0.2. And then the third is kind of 0.3 might be terminology. Is that what we're trying to do here with listing, or these references?
Yeah, and I think those are the only ones that we have.
I'm just thinking, just the construction of this last piece, it may be useful to put it into the numbering system.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, good. All right, I think then we'll ship this out. It's ready to go. Thank you.
Fantastic.
And thank you, everybody.
Years and years of effort.
Yeah.
Okay. Have people had a chance to review these meeting minutes that were sent by email?
Yes.
Does anyone have any changes?
No.
I move that we approve. Is there a second?
I'll second them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Joe. Staff updates.
Yeah, so two important updates. As you may know, last year our office was, the Office of Historic Preservation was created. So we were separated from the Environment Department and have our own budget. And at that time, a position for the director of the Office of Historic Preservation was created, and that new staff member just started on Monday. And his name is Murray Murray, and he comes from Dallas, Texas. And he has a long history of historic preservation, not only throughout the United States, but also in Canada, New Zealand, and the Caribbean. So, wow. Tom, as a BLC, you'll certainly be working with Murray Miller, and you may be interacting with him in some of the districts as well. And then an exciting
exhibit. Good. I'm glad you brought this up.
As you also know, part of our office includes the archaeology department, and our city archaeologist Joe Bagley is always doing exciting and important research. And this is an exhibit that will be opening Saturday at Faneuil Hall on the history of slavery. And I got to see a preview of it last week, and it's great. And if you're able to come Friday at 1:00, we would be happy to see you. And if not, it'll be installed throughout the summer, if not into the fall. And it's, you just go right into the Faneuil Hall building. About halfway into the building, the exhibit starts on panels, and it guides you down to the staircase to a lower level where there are more interpretive panels, and then a film that loops and runs that you can see. So hopefully you'll all either join us on Friday or make time to see it in the next couple of months.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. So those are my updates.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions or comments? All right, I'm going to move that we adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Great day. Great to
Thanks,
see you.
Kathleen.
See you soon. See Thank you. You.
Thank you. Thanks. Joe, are you on just for a sec? Question.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Is the agenda for the Bay State, is that going to be a short meeting?
It should be fairly short. We have, there are two discussion design review items, but they're very straightforward. One okay. was appointing that has already been done, but it was yep. been, without our approval.
Right.
And then two rear vents that vent out on Back Street. And
okay.
there's no other locations for
it. I'm asking for a selfish reason. I'll just nip out afterward to get home for the 6 o'clock
meeting. Sure, that's fine. Yeah, that's
okay.
fine.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Well, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.